website at operationrock.com, and the word rock there is spelled R-O-C, operationrock.com. But this morning, I don't want to talk about my ministry or the ministry that God has called us to. I see some pins. Let me give you that again, operationrock.com, and that is one word, and the rock is spelled R-O-C, operationrock.com. And our latest prayer letter is there, and the names of pastors and different information is there about our ministry, and we're certainly grateful for that. And along with that, of course, our radio program, Higher Ground radio program, broadcast from Gospel 90.3, grateful for that, and also on the island of Antigua at the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse there. And so if you listen to the radio program, thank you so much. We get responses from people in the States and in the Caribbean region. I was preaching a couple of years ago in Kentucky, and someone came up to me and they said, "Hey, I listened to the program on Gospel 90.3. And so we're grateful for that. Have had folks in more recent times do that. And then also at the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, many times when I'm on the islands out there, folks come up and say they listen to the program. We hope it's a blessing, and just trying to get into the Word of God a little bit. This morning, I want to preach to you. Amen. So take your Bibles and find your place in the book of Psalms, chapter 71. Psalms, chapter 71. And I'm going to preach this morning on a subject that is going to be very applicable to us. And you'll understand when we read the text and then when I share with you what the sermon title is. And we're going to learn some things from the Word of God this morning. And so I hope you brought your Bible and maybe something, as we say in the radio program, something to write with and something to write on. Amen. Psalm 71. And we're going to read one verse and then we'll pray. Psalm 71, look in verse number 1. The Bible says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." I'm preaching on this subject this morning. Let me never be put to confusion. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the reading of Holy Writ. We're grateful for the opportunity to proclaim it. And what a wonderful place on this Sunday morning to be able to preach thy word. I'm grateful, Father, for this opportunity. We ask you, Father, this morning that you would bless the preaching of the Word of God as the Word of God goes forth. I pray this morning that it would go forth with power and a fresh anointing of thy Spirit. I bring nothing this morning to the pulpit that would be in any help except with you. And Father, I pray today that you would move in and out of every pew and speak to every heart. If there's someone this morning in the building that has never been saved, we pray that today that they would see the need of a Savior and that they would see the need to be saved today. Speak to that heart that's lost. And then, Father, for believers this morning, we ask you to give us exactly what we need. Would you speak to our hearts? We pray this morning for a fresh anointing, that the church would be edified, and that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. I think you would agree with me this morning that we're living in a day of confusion. Amen. We're living in a world where the world is confused about how to be justified in the eyes of a holy God. We're living in a world where the world is confused about who God is. We're living in a world today where the world is confused about God's divine order. You know, there is a divine order that God has. We're living in a world today that doesn't even know which bathroom to use. Are you with me, church? We're living in a world today that is confused. We're living in a world today where the world doesn't know what gender they are. We're living in a world today of great confusion. The latest example of that is the opening games at Paris. Amen. If that doesn't show you that today that we are living in a world of confusion, I don't know what does. Today we're living in a world of confusion. Today the world is confused, but I submit to you this morning that believers are confused as well. May I submit to you today that there is some confusion amongst believers. There is confusion concerning what Bible to use. There is some confusion concerning what songs to sing. There is confusion concerning what church to attend because all churches are not the same. There is some confusion concerning the matter of living the Christian life and living a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. We live in a day of confusion. But I want to remind you of something this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 33. The Bible teaches us this: for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So it's clear this morning that while the world is in confusion, the Bible teaches us that God is not the author of confusion. That's important that we understand that. So where there is confusion in the world, where there is confusion in our life, God is not the author of it. The Bible teaches us in verse number 1 that we are to trust in the Lord. And the Bible says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." The word there, confusion, is an interesting word. The word confusion, it has to do with disorder. It has to do with a distraction of the mind. In some cases, it even means to be put to shame. Now, I want you to look at your Bibles for a minute because there's something very interesting that I want to show you. It appears in verse number 1 where the Bible says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." Think with me now. It appears to me from the text that the opposite of confusion is trust. Amen? So if that be true, and it is, then think with me logically for just a moment. The more that I trust in the Lord, the less I am confused. The more I am confused, then the less I... Or the less I trust in the Lord, then the more I am confused. So the truth of the matter is this: in my life and in this, in my life and in your life, as we've gathered together on this Sunday, we must determine in our life that we can either trust in the Lord or we can be put to confusion. Does that make sense? Look at your Bibles for a moment. Now, I have an authorized 1611 King James Bible. And if you were to look in Psalm 70, I'm going to teach you something here. If you were to look in Psalm 70, underneath in my Bible where it says Psalm 70, underneath that, it says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance." If you were to go to Psalm 72, and you were to look at Psalm 72, in my Bible, underneath where it says Psalm 72, it says a psalm for Solomon. But in my King James Bible, under Psalm 71, it is not attributed to anyone. You see that? And so we can oftentimes, because of these notes that we find, and the notes are not always correct, but the notes that we find, we can attribute different stories in the Old Testament to some of those psalms in the life of the characters in which they lived. Does that make sense? But in Psalm 71, we don't find that. But I want us to do a little study, and then I'm going to give you a three-point outline that I think will be a help to us. I want you to take your Bibles for a moment and go back to the book of 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. In our text in the book of Psalms, there are people much wiser than I who have done the research and have dug deep into this. I'm telling you this because I want us to be a student of the Word of God. And I want us to look at something this morning that's very interesting. A lot of writers and commentators, they believe that Psalm 71, which is our text, may have been written toward the end of David's life. So with that in mind, stay with me, this is subjectional, okay? But in 1 Kings chapter 1, I want you to see something that's very interesting. If Psalm 71 was penned toward the end of David's life, then this may, 1 Kings chapter 1, have been happening towards the end of his life. Many connect Psalm 71 with a family conflict. Anybody in the building ever had a family conflict? I'm raising both hands and a foot. Amen. If that's the case, then it's very applicable to our lives. So if Psalm 71 was written towards the end of David's life, here's what we believe. If you look in 1 Kings chapter 1, look in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat." All right, so he's old. He can't retain heat. Now look down to verse number 5. This is all introduction, just giving you something to think about. The Bible says, "Then Adonijah." Now the Bible teaches us, according to 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 4, that Adonijah was the fourth son of David. So Adonijah is a son of David. "Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, 'I will be king.' And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, 'Why hast thou done so?' And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom." It is believed that there was a conflict, a family conflict, between the brothers who would be heir apparent to the throne of David. Adonijah was one of them. We see this in the text, that he exalted himself that he would be king. We further believe that there was conflict because if you turn over to chapter 2 of 2 Kings, look there. I'm sorry, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2, look in verse 13. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible says this, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 13. "And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. And she said, 'Comest thou peaceably?' And he said, 'Peaceably.'" Look this way for just a moment. She would have never had to make that statement if there wasn't conflict. Does that make sense? All right, let's look on. Verse 14, "He said, 'Moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee.' And she said, 'Say on.' And he said, 'Thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel did set their faces on me that I should reign. Howbeit, the kingdom is turned about and is become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord.'" And a lot of commentators and people, as I said, much wiser than me, they say that Psalm 71 is tied to this conflict, this family conflict between the brothers who would be heir apparent to the throne of David. Now, once again, that's subjectional. Now, go back to Psalm 71. With those thoughts in mind, I want us to look at Psalm 71 concerning what David said when he said, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." Psalm 71. I have this morning a three-point outline. And I want you to notice Psalm 71 because the three-point outline gives a specific method, and I want you to see that. Three times in Psalm chapter 71, you're going to find a word that's an important word for us to understand in order for us to understand Psalm 71. Three times in Psalm 71, you find the word continually. Now everybody's looking. Look this way for a moment. Which means this, that whatever is in Psalm 71, these things just aren't done one time. They're done over and over and over and over, yea, daily in our lives. So the truth is, if I'm going to put my trust in the Lord and not be put to confusion, then whatever is in Psalm 71 that applies to my life, I must do those things again and again and again and again and again. Does that make sense? Psalm 71, if I'm going to trust in the Lord and not be put to confusion, number one, I must, according to verse 3, continually resort. Look in verse 3. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. For thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. So the first thing that we learn from verse number 3, if I'm going to trust in the Lord and not be put to confusion, then number one, I must continually resort. Now, what does that mean? Here's what that means. The word resort, it means to go into. So let's just make application here for just a moment. If I say to you, when you go on vacation, you're going to a resort, you know what I mean. You could go to the Sandals Resort, or you could go to another resort. So you know what the word resort means, to go into. Now, when you get to that resort that you're vacationing at, we understand that at that resort, there are three things. There is relaxation, there is rejuvenation, and there is protection. Amen? And so we understand that this word habitation, or this word resort, it means to go into. Look at the next word. Look in verse number 3. Notice the word habitation. The word habitation, it has to do with a dwelling place or a refuge. So what the psalmist was saying, regardless of the scene that was set, and regardless of the background story, the psalmist in the text is saying, if I'm going to trust in the Lord and not be put to confusion, then I must continually resort to Him. He is my dwelling place. He is my refuge. So our strong habitation that we must continually run to is not a structure. Our strong habitation that we must continually run to, according to verse number 1, is the Lord God Almighty. Amen? The two words, be thou, in verse number 3 is a reference to the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, in verse number 1. But the truth of the matter is this. Don't miss this. You can't resort to Him if you've never trusted in His Son, Jesus Christ. Because there is no access unto Jehovah God but by Jesus Christ. Now, how do we know that? Well, hold your place here for just a moment and go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5 is a good verse. Romans. So we're talking about resorting to Him. Romans chapter 5. And if you look in Romans 5, in verse number 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So in this verse, we see peace with God. That's salvation. There's no way that a person, that a man, that a woman, that a child can have peace with God outside of being saved. Remember, there's peace with God, And then Philippians talks about the peace of God. Two different things. One's for the believer. This is for the person who needs Christ as their Savior. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 2. By whom also we have access unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so may I submit to you today on the authority of the Word of God that you can't resort to Jehovah God until you have trusted in His Son, Jesus Christ. Otherwise, there's no access. The Bible says we must continually resort. Today in our world, people are resorting to alcohol. You with me? Today in our world, people are resorting to drugs. Today in our world, people are resorting to different vices that would give them some form of what they think would be relief. But may I say to you that Holy Writ instructs us to run to Him. Don't miss this. He doesn't need to be our last resort. He needs to be our only resort. Amen? Why? Well, the Bible's clear in Psalm 71. Turn back there. The Bible's clear in Psalm 71 why we should resort to Him. So we go into Him, we run to Him. This is something that must be done continually in our lives. As a believer in Christ, my responsibility is to run to Him. Amen? Not just when hard times come about, not just when the difficult times come about, but I need to run to Him every single day. Amen. I need to run to Him. That is continually resorting to Him. Why? Well, let's look at some verses here in Psalm 71. Just some words. We'll not take the time to look at all the verses. But just notice, and I'll read these off. In verse number 2, He is my deliverer. You see the word deliver in the verse. He's my deliverer. These are reasons why I should resort to Him. He's my deliverer in verse 2. He's my way of escape in verse number 2. He is one who saves in verse number 2. Notice, He is one who listens. Notice in verse number 2, this is very interesting to me. The psalmist is praying, and he's asking Jehovah, towards the last part of the verse, incline thine ear unto me. Everybody look this way for a moment. I like this word, incline. Let me explain it like this. In your house, you probably have a chair. Amen? Your favorite chair. And I remember when we had four kids growing up at home, and now all of our kids are gone. But when the kids were growing up at home, if daddy walked in the house and they were sitting in daddy's chair, they knew that they had to get up because daddy wanted to sit in his chair. Now, I had a specific chair. Are you with me? Come on, church. I had a specific chair. And that chair that I had was a recliner. Can I get an amen right there? And I would get in my recliner, and I would say it. Recline. And I would sit in that chair, and I love my recliner. It was the place where I rested. It's the place where I took Sunday afternoon naps. Come on. Love that recliner. But I want you to notice the word. So recline means to lay back. The word in verse number 2 is the word incline. It gives us the thought of Jehovah God sitting on His throne, and when David begins to pray, Jehovah God, the God of all creation, He leans forward and listens. That is the word incline, and that's what David, if it is David in Psalm 71, that's what he's asking. He's asking in the situation that he's in, Lord, would you incline your ear to me? Now, I don't know about you, but when I pray, I want God to incline His ear unto me. Amen? Isn't that sweet? These are reasons why we should resort to him. In verse number 3, he's my rock. In verse number 3, he's my fortress. In verse number 6, he is one that holds me up. And every day we must continually resort to him. He is our strength and he is our sustainment. And I say to you today, run to him. Number 2, look in verse 6. We see the second word continually. Verse 6, the Bible says, by thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. So number 1, we are to continually resort to him. But then number 2, we are to continually, say it, praise him. Now don't miss this. Whoever is the writer of Psalm 71. We know it's by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. But whoever the writer is, whoever took the ink and the quill and began to pen it, whoever it is, he's hurting. He's hurting. It's like that people on the outside of a circumstance, be it a family conflict or whatever it is, that people on the outside are looking in to his life and they don't understand. And in verse number 7, the Bible teaches us that whoever is looking in, they are beginning to form opinions about the situation. In verse number 7, the Bible says, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. So they are forming opinions about whatever situation this is. Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had someone from the outside looking in at your situation, forming opinions about you? Amen. In verse number 10, the Bible says, whoever it is, they're speaking against him. For my enemies speak against me. So whatever's taking place, people are forming opinions about the situation. People are speaking against him. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but how many of you have had people speak against you? Probably everyone would raise their hand. Amen. In verse number 13, for the sake of time, the last part of the verse, notice the phrase that seek my hurt. So whatever is taking place and whatever backdrop we have of Psalm 71, they are trying to cause hurt. Now you would say this, why are you telling us this? Because I want you to notice something that's taking place in the psalmist's life concerning the things that are happening with people forming opinions and people speaking against him and trying to hurt him. In the midst, the writer, he decides, don't miss this, he decides that he's going to do one thing, continually praise. Now, how do we know that? Look in verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise. Look in verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness. Verse number 23. My lips shall greatly rejoice. Verse 24. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness. You see that? And so what the psalmist is saying is that even though people are forming opinions, and even though people are talking, and even though people are trying to cause me hurt, I can't do anything about those situations. Hey, but there's one thing that I can do. I can praise the Lord through them. And in my life and in your life, if we are going to trust in the Lord and not be put to confusion, then our life must be a life of praise. Not a hypocritical praise or a praise of facade, but the real deal, praising the Lord. That's what the psalmist is saying. If I'm going to trust in the Lord and not be put to confusion, then I must continually resort to him. I must continually praise him. And then number 3, did you find it? Who found it? Anybody find number 3? Did you get it? What verse is it? Verse 14, man, we got a smart class this morning. He says in verse 14, but I will hope continually and yet praise thee more and more. If you look in verse number 5, he uses the word hope again. He says in verse number 5, for thou art my hope. So we see here in the text that the psalmist is continually hoping in the Lord. Now, we find the word hope throughout Holy Writ. It means different things depending on the context. But in the text in verse number 15, he says, I will hope continually. The word hope there, it's not a hope so hope. It is a no so hope. Matter of fact, it is a hope. Don't miss this word. It is a hope of expectancy. Amen. It is a hope. Of if I wait on the Lord, if I tarry, the Lord has everything under control. And the psalmist is just simply saying this: if I can continually resort to Him, if I can continually praise Him, then hope is on the way. Amen? So we see the word, the phrase here, continually hope. The writer is expecting. He's trusting God to do something. Titus reminds us concerning some hope that we have. In Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, the Bible teaches us this, that we have the hope of eternal life. It is a known expectancy in the life of the believer. Amen? There is no doubt in my mind that heaven is real and that my soul is secure and that I have eternal life because I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Can you say that today? 1 Corinthians 15:19, the Bible says this: if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. You know, sometimes in our life, we look at things and it's hard sometimes to trust God. I think we need to understand that if we can trust God with our eternity, then we can trust God for tomorrow as well. Amen? The hope of eternal life. The psalmist was hoping continually. Titus also reminds us, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, something called the blessed hope. The blessed hope is an expectation of His return in the clouds to catch the believers away. I'm living today on hope. I'm living today on the hope of eternal life, the expectancy that God will do what He said that He would do concerning salvation, but I'm also looking for that blessed hope when the trumpet sounds and the believers are caught up to heaven and everything changes. Could be today. I don't know about you, but I want to finish well as a believer in Christ, because it could be today. I want to continually resort. In the midst of hard times and difficult times and situations and in circumstances, look, I don't know how you came into the building today, but today I want you to know something, that if you'll continually resort, if you'll continually praise, and if you'll continually hope, then may I say to you today, that your trust will be in the Lord and you'll not be put to confusion. Now, I'm looking for the Lord to take me out of here. Amen? I'm looking for the rapture, and it could be today. In the year 1622, there was a Spanish galleon called the Atocha. The Atocha sailed with her fleet of ships in 1622 with 40 tons of gold and silver on it. As the Atocha and her fleet of ships were sailing, they were sailing off the coast of the Florida Keys. And they hit a hurricane. And the ships, all of them, they sunk. The famed treasure hunter, Mel Fisher, began his search in the year 1969. He gathered a group of men, and he began to search for the Spanish galleon called the Atocha. Over time, Mel Fisher found the other ships that were in the fleet of ships off the coast of the Florida Keys. But the Atocha eluded him. Until one day, in the early 1980s, he struck the mother lode. And he found the Atocha. And when he found the Atocha, it was said that it was the richest find since the find of King Tut's tombs in the 1920s. Mel Fisher, for 15 years, he gathered his crew on the deck of the ship. And here's what he would say to them. We're going out today to find the Atocha. Today's the day. And he would get up the next day and he would say this. Today's the day. Today's the day. Today's the day. And one day it was the day. And I say to you today, today could be the day. And if today's not the day, then tomorrow could be the day. And if tomorrow's not the day, then the next day may be the day. And eventually, if I keep saying that, I'm going to get it right, aren't I? Amen? We have one life. Whatever you're dealing with in your life today, would you this morning exchange confusion for trust? Our Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Bless the invitation time. I pray that you would. If there's someone in the building that's lost, we pray today would be the day of salvation. Deal in that heart and life. For believers, draw us closer to thee and deal with us in the invitation time. I pray that you would. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder today, maybe you're confused. Maybe you came into the building this morning and there is something that has confused you. Maybe a family issue. Maybe a job issue. Maybe a church issue. Would you today exchange that confusion for trust? Maybe you're in the building today and you're confused because you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. There are not many ways to heaven. There is just one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. And today, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, when the invitation begins, would you just move to the front and shake hands with Brother Perkins, and we'll have someone take the Bible and show you how you can be saved and how that your trust can be in the Lord. For believers today, is there a situation that has caused confusion in your life? Today, would you be obedient to the Lord? Would you resort to Him? Would you praise Him? And would you hope in Him? Our Father, speak to hearts. Help us to make decisions. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you stand, please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Bird is going to begin to sing. The invitation is open. Let God have His way in your heart. Would you do it?
Just as I
am, are you continually resorting
without